Saka. Looks towards goal, curls it, oh yes! What a way to score your first goal for Arsenal!
Hey everyone, welcome back to New Gunners Podcast. It is a great day to be an Arsenal fan. A glimmer of hope for Arteta on Saturday. What do you think, Javier?
Yeah, I want to say a great day to be an Arsenal fan, but definitely we got our first goal and our first 3 points of the season.
Yeah, and if you ask me, that goal is a perfect representation of what Arsenal's going through. It wasn't even easy for it to go in. It was a sloppy goal. It was hard fought, but it went in the back of the net, and Arteta lives to fight another day. So it brings with it a lot of hope. It brings with it a lot of positivity. But you could see how much Arsenal struggled to get that in the back of the net, just as we're struggling to find our feet. But the good thing is 3 points. That's the most important thing. We're starting off the month with a solid 3 points. I think we talked about it during the last episode. If Arteta lost to Norwich, he would probably be fired right now. But alas, he somehow found a victory. I think it was interesting that the victory came when he made his subs, when he took out Odegaard and he put in Smith Rowe.
No, Odegaard didn't come out.
No? Oh, I'm sorry. So he took out
our new signing?
He took
Tomiyasu.
He took out Lokonga.
Lokonga. Those were the two changes.
And he took out
Maitland-Niles.
Maitland-Niles was at the end just to secure the win. But definitely, he started with a 4-2-3-1, which he's been doing for a while. But I think definitely the game changed when we went to a 4-3-3. I think it's a little bit of a hint. I think that's where we're going towards. Definitely, party in the field is the big, big difference. That was the game changer. And Smith Rowe, like always, just run at people. Before the two changes, I wasn't too happy. It wasn't horrible, but I wasn't too happy the way we were approaching the game. I think we were slow. I think we were pressing Norwich well, but come on, it's Norwich. We know they're not the best team in the Premier League. In fact, we are both bottom teams of the week.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about Norwich and Arsenal, we didn't exactly, have a dominating match against Norwich. So let me tell you, fans out there, New Gunners Podcast, the lineup that we started with. We started with Aaron Ramsdale in goal, Tomiyasu as left back. As you guys probably have heard, we signed Tomiyasu as our left back. And
left or right?
I think
it's right. This is a right back.
Yeah. Right, okay. So he's our right back. What do you guys think of Tomiyasu? I think he was exciting to watch. He almost scored a goal.
I was impressed. I was actually very impressed. I don't follow the Italian league as much as I should, but I was impressed that, when you think Italian football, you think of deep sitting defenders. Tomiyasu was up and down both areas, going up to the Norwich area to support attack, running all the way back to support defense. There's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of strength and vigor. So I like to see that. I think he pairs nicely with Kieran Tierney, bringing that speed and athleticism to the flanks. And we've been begging for a fullback for a while. So I like that. I like that he had his air volley there at in the game and almost scored. He hit the post. So you could see he's hungry for a goal. He really wants to play, and it's funny that he made his debut almost immediately after he got signed. So that's cool.
I have to hold my hands up because I thought we were getting really a center back that is gonna be a mischief right back. I think it was gonna sit kind of a back three when we were in possession, but through the game we saw absolutely the opposite. He was roaming forward. It was actually Tierney, the one that was staying at times. So they were alternating to go forward between Tierney and Tomiyasu. Very solid. He was heading balls out of the area as well, which we haven't seen any fullbacks do it at Arsenal for a long, long time. He's tall, he's strong, he's fast, very athletic. He has the stamina for the Premier League. He has the physicality for the Premier League. I have to say, out of all the signings, this is the one that I'm the most gladly surprised. This is a good surprise to see. I think for 17 mil, I think we got ourselves a really good deal.
Yeah, and then we have our two center backs, Gabriel and Ben White. That's what we started with, and they finished throughout the game. What do you guys think about our defense?
Again, it was Norwich, but I think Ben White benefited a lot to having Gabriel next to him. He looked much more composed. He looked much more solid. It was a much, much better performance than the one we saw last. And I think that has a lot to do with Gabriel. Gabriel, even though he's so young, he brings a lot of serenity to the back line. We saw it last season whenever we didn't have Gabriel, we missed him a lot. And at the start of the season, we didn't have him. And I think that was part of the problems we had at the beginning of the season, not having Gabriel. So I like that pair. I really like that pair. They're both very young. So I feel like they're going to keep winning confidence, keep growing as a duo. You know, we're going to see some chemistry built there. It's just Norwich. You know, we can't get ahead of ourselves, but it was a good start for that partnership that I think is going to be long term.
Do you guys think Ben White and Gabriel are our best center backs? Do you think he's sort of our best center backs?
Absolutely. No question, Sax. There's no doubts about that. Those are the two center halves that Arteta wants in his lineup every single weekend.
Cool. I mean, a little bit all over the place, but I agree. I mean, we did get the win. I'm happy about the win. I'm glad to see Aubameyang back on the score sheet. However, Javi, you've said it a couple of times. It was Norwich, and a 1-0 against Norwich, I'm still worried.
Well, all you can do is beat what is in front of you. So, you know, we have to keep ourselves, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves because it is Norwich, but it was the team that we needed to beat. You know, It's not Arsenal's fault that was the team that they had to beat on the weekend. And they were both feeling confident. Norwich was feeling confident against Arsenal.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like they were playing against us like when they're playing against Man United, Man City, Liverpool. They came out feeling confident, thinking they could get something out of the game. And we managed to win. You know, next weekend we'll see. It will be another test for Arteta and his starting 11. I think something that is very, very important from this game, I think this is the very first time we see an actual Arteta starting 11. This is his team. I think five of his six signings started, and one of his and two of his the people that he renewed contracts. So I think from this game on, we're gonna see where Arteta is bringing to the team. He has the team that he wants on the field, the players that are Arteta players. So that's one of the things I think of the positives I would say that I got from the weekend is that we have a team that belongs to Arteta. Finally, they're no more Wenger players. They're no more Unai players. These are Arteta's players. And so far, you know, they perform.
Yeah, definitely. And our midfield right here, we've got Sambi Lokonga, Maitland-Niles, Odegaard. Odegaard, I think, did an amazing job. Almost got a goal from his pass to Aubameyang or Pepe, I think. And maybe the goal didn't come from Odegaard, but definitely a harder work goal that we did get against Norwich. And I think we deserve it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm seeing two things that I'll mention very briefly. Actually, three things. Sambi Lokonga, I think he's fitting in nicely on the team. You could see he needs a little bit of experience to find his feet. But what I'm seeing is great. I like it. Maitland Niles finally gets his dream of playing center mid. And I honestly, like, Maitland Niles, he gets a lot of hate just because I think the media overdoes it a little bit with Maitland Niles when they're saying, you know, that he wants to play center mid and he doesn't want to play anywhere else. You know, he's a good player to have. He's a good player to keep. I think, you know, he's a professional young man and he's going to give his best to the club if he's given the chance wherever on the field it is. And you saw it when we made the subs and whatnot. He can play more defensively when needed. He could play offensively when needed. So he's a good squad player to have. And I always like to see a good academy player on the team. As far as Odegaard, there's a very specific thing I wanted to touch on. And it's the differences. I think it's a strength that he has the differences with Smith Rowe. They both play that creative midfield role. But Odegaard slows down the pace, allows for Aubameyang or the forwards to make a run, and he gets the right pass at the right time. That's a very difficult thing to defend. Now, if a team figures him out and we have Smith Rowe's the opposite. He's dynamic, fast. Let me get the ball. Let me run and let me pass it. So if you play Odegaard and Smith Rowe at the same time, the defending team is challenged. They've got to match Smith Rowe's pace, but they've got to anticipate Odegaard's timeliness. So I think it's really cool to see that. They played together for, you know, part of the second half, and I really enjoyed seeing that dynamic changes in pace. So I love that. I love to have that team. And I think, like what Lucas was saying, he didn't get his assist. I think sometimes he was trying a little bit too much, like trying to get a little bit too fancy. But he's the quality we were missing when Ozil stopped playing and, you know, he fell out of favor. The Odegaard quality brings to the team what we need.
Yeah, definitely. And now we have Pepe and Saka. And I just really want to touch on Pepe right now, considering, you know, Pepe got a lot of chances in front of goal, near missed shots. And I just want to say, you know, it's nice having to see Pepe get all those shots, but it I don't want to say discouraging, but a little concerning and worrying that he's not putting those shots away, which could be crucial in tougher matches, like when we play Chelsea again or Man United eventually. Those shots have to go in.
Yeah, I feel like they will come. Mm-hmm. I feel like they will come. Right now, we have something very particular in our team that we either have players that are very, very young, under 23, or players that are 30 and over. We don't have anybody really just hitting their prime just yet, but Pepe. Pepe is the only one. I think he's 25 right now, if I'm mistaken. He's starting to hit his prime. I agree with you, Lucas. I think he needs to work in finishing. But at the same time, he's the player that looks like scoring the most out of the whole squad, even more than Aubameyang until now, if you don't take into account the West Brom game when he got his hat trick. Every time you got Pepe inside the box, he wants to shoot. He wants to make the goalie work. And the goal comes from Pepe, so unlucky. He hits the post twice, first on the left, second on the right, and then eventually goes to Aubameyang and he scores. But the goal comes from Pepe just looking super dangerous, really dangerous inside the box. So I would say it's just a matter of time and a little bit of patience. I think as the team keeps gelling, as the team keeps playing to his strengths, because that's another thing. I think it's a one thing when Pepe gets the ball outside the box and he has to work his way in. And another thing is when Pepe is already inside the box or by the line, he gets inside the box, no defender can touch him. And I think this is when he's the dangerous at the most. This is when he's at his best. So I will say it's just a matter of time. Hopefully Aubameyang picks it up. And you know, as of right now, Aubameyang and Pepe are the only two players that look like scoring. So, yeah. Concerns. My concerns would come from other players not even looking like scoring. Saka, He has to work in his finishing.
Definitely.
Smith Rowe, I like that he took two chances that he could have laid off against Norwich. But I like he's getting that in his head that he needs to get goals as well. Hopefully they'll come from him as well. So, yeah, I think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, and to add to that, you know, Pepe, you know, Lucas, you're saying Pepe, he had his chances and he didn't finish them. But the thing, like, what the way I see it is Pepe is just one of those players. Arsenal is, by all means, going through a very difficult time right now. And players like Pepe are taking that responsibility on their own shoulders and trying to get Arsenal out of this rut. And he's taking a lot of chances. Of course, you're going to miss. If you take 20 chances, you're going to miss 19. You'll make the one. So I think that's what's happening with Pepe. He's very direct and he's going for it. He's going for it because he's one of the older players on the team. He feels the responsibility of these losses. And I think he's trying his best to make it happen. And you saw that. Honestly, Aubameyang finished it, but Pepe made that goal.
Yeah, Pepe made the goal. And if you think about it, it's not like he's just completely missing his chances. He gets like good saves from the goalkeepers, hitting the post twice like we saw against Norwich. He definitely can score. He's a player that definitely can score. I think also he's a player that he goes a lot on confidence, like many strikers, like many forwards. So the more confident he feels, the more goals are going to come. I think he just thrives on confidence. He looked pretty confident on against Norwich on Saturday. And I hope that his confidence skills building up, and I really think the goals are going to come.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit statistically about this game. So, team stats, you know, shots. Arsenal had 30 and Norwich have 10. So, that's always good to have more shots. Shots on target, we had 7 and Norwich had 1. So, think about it. Arsenal had 30 shots with 7 on target. Norwich had 10 with 1 on target. So, yeah, it's like almost the same
proportion.
Proportion, exactly.
Yeah, same proportion. At the same time, we can see that we definitely dominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially the second half. I think in the first half, we created a couple. We should have scored 1 or 2. But in the second half, definitely, as soon as Partey and Smith Rowe came in, we changed to a 4-3-3. I agree completely with what Daniel said earlier. I think having both Odegaard and Smith Rowe in the field gives defenders a whole new dimension to worry about. It's not just the one player creating. They get two players creating chances from different ways of doing it. So I really, really hope the second half, when Arteta introduced those changes, I think that was a hint that the route we're taking with a 4-3-3 with both Odegaard and Smith Rowe in the middle of the park. I really loved that, and we saw it, and I think most of the chances were created when they came in, and we looked very, very dangerous, and the stats back it up. You know, this is the reason why we had the most chances and the most chances on the most shots and the most shots on target.
Yeah, and then we have possession. We had 52% and Norwich had 48%. So we are definitely controlling the ball more, especially, like you said, Javier, in the second half. And then passes, we had much more than Norwich, 437 passes, and Norwich, 408 passes. So you can see we're really circulating the ball, passing it around. That's really good.
Yeah, and I think that's like I attribute that a lot to having Lokonga on the field. He does a good job. Like I said, he's a youngster, and you can see he's kind of, you know, adapting still, but he's almost there. It's just getting used to the team, but he has the skill, the quality, and the right mentality of, you know, keeping the ball moving and making that important pass to Odegaard, who will eventually get us on goal.
He definitely is, but I think the only powerhouse in the middle that we have is,
yes,
Thomas Partey. So it's a concern for me. that we didn't get another midfielder with his qualities, with his way of playing, with his way of owning the midfield. Because as good as Lacunga can be, as well as Minnie Lyles did, and we all know about Xhaka, his virtues and his flaws. I don't think he does a bad job. I don't think he's the same player when he has Partey next to him and when he does not. I think they complement each other well. But when you have Xhaka trying to boss the midfield, he cannot do it. He gets anxious. He starts doing his rush decisions, and we saw what happened the weekend before. And that's my only concern. As good as our midfielders are, you know, the Lacunga and Manny Lyles, we do not have a very strong midfield. I think that's our weakest area. We just gotta cross our fingers and hope that he goes through the season without missing many games. Otherwise, I think we're gonna be in trouble if Partey does not play week in, week out. Because as good as the younger players look, they cannot feel his boots yet.
Good call, Javi. Good call. Especially with Thomas Partey already struggling through injuries, it might be, you know, it might be a matter of time before, you know, he gets hurt, and we'll need to figure something out in the middle. You're right, because Xhaka, clearly, it's not even a skill thing. It's just a maturity mentality thing. I think he gets overwhelmed by the responsibility, and he feels like he needs to go in hard for these tackles, and gets red cards more frequently than anybody else.
Yeah, so. he gets a lot of hate. I think one thing is quality. I think, you know, he's a good player. I don't think he has the quality to boss the midfield. I think he needs a good partner next to him. I think he gets it in Thomas Partey, but whenever Partey's not around, you know, he struggles. And it's the opposite with Partey. He can play alongside anybody, and the midfield looks completely different. We saw him play by himself in the middle with by himself as a holding midfielder with Odegaard and Smith-Rowe ahead of him, and he bossed the midfield completely and allowed Odegaard and Smith-Rowe do their thing. I think that was the big difference on Saturday.
Yeah, and now let's talk a little more about the hope for Arteta, how Arteta's gonna live to see another day at Arsenal. And Javier, you know, we've been talking about this a lot, and you've always, like, supported Arteta. You know, do you think Arteta is gonna make it through the next couple games? Because, you know, we have Burnley next, and Arsenal always has struggled with the mid-tier teams that, you know, there's no really easy game in the Premier League. What do you think, Javier?
Absolutely, Lucas. No easy game in the Premier League. Look, I'm not going to say I'm a fan of Arteta anymore. I was at the beginning. I had high hopes. I think there's still a good coach in there. It's just so much to do at Arsenal Football Club. There's so much that needs to be done. I still hope that he does well, because if he does well, that means Arsenal's going to do well. And if Arsenal do well, you know, we're all happy. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously want our club to do well and get back where it belongs. But he's walking on thin ice. I think the first test was against Norwich. I think a tie against Norwich, he would have been gone. I think he's still on thin ice. Burnley is another 3 points he needs to get. I think, again, a tie or losing against Burnley, he's out. After he gets those 6 points, I think he will get a little bit of a break against Tottenham, because it is Tottenham. You know, a win obviously will give him some credit in the bank. A tie with a good performance could be overlooked on the back of 6 points. But I think he just have to assure and just get the 3 points. And after that, I forget who we have, but there are other two winnable games. So he just got it. I feel at the moment Arteta has to go game by game. Anything goes wrong and he could be out the door. So he has to make sure that he wins every game coming up.
Yeah, to a second what you're saying, I mean, I really do think that this was too big of a job for a new manager. You see, like, for example, Gerard at Rangers, you know, it's a smaller team, he could take that. But then on the other hand, you see Lampard at Chelsea, and he got fired. But like you said, it's our club, it's our team, we have to support our team. And if Arteta delivers, then all is good. We have no complaints to make. But unfortunately, he's in this tough position. He has to keep winning, and if he doesn't win, he's out. I heard, you know, there's rumors of Arsenal actually contacting Conte to talk about, you know, preliminaries, just having conversations. And he must know. He must know that he's on thin ice.
Yeah, and for me, I always supported Arteta, but like you said, Javier, it's has been pretty shaky lately. He's still on thin ice, but I think Arteta, like you said, Javier, go game by game. But for me, if a draw comes at Burnley, that's no good. You got to win that, especially because it's a team that Arsenal has struggled with. And if you don't get another 3 points, he's out the window.
Yeah, these are our next five matches. Burnley on Saturday. Tottenham, Sunday the 26th, at home as well. Brighton away, Crystal Palace at home, and then Aston Villa at home. So those are our next five games. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 at home. No, 3 at home and 2 away. If we manage to get 13 points out of those five games, I think he's going to gain confidence. He's going to gain the backing of the supporters. And he's on his way to dig himself out of the hole that he's in right now. Anything less than that, I don't think he's going to survive.
Yeah, and after Tottenham, it gets a little better for him. So, you know, best of luck to him. We're watching keenly, and we're looking at every move. You know, I hope for everybody that he turns this thing around and he proves, including me, wrong. But, you know, it's on it is on thin ice, but hopefully we're in good shape.
All right, and that wraps up our episode today, guys, of New Gunners Podcast. And a brand new announcement. We are going to start doing a new mini-series pregame. We're going to start making 2 episodes a week. One episode is our regular New Gunners Podcast after the game. And our first one before that will be before the game each week. And we'll be talking about predictions of the game, our predictive formations, tactics, and what will the game be like. That's all, folks. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @NewGunnersPodcast and subscribe to the podcast.